At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, coming up on 10 minutes into hour three, just reaching out for Andy. And taking the occasion there with John after mentioning the Oaks, because I printed out the second half. It's a 13 or 12 race, 12 race card at Fairgrounds on Saturday. The Tom Benson Memorial. You've got starts the stakes action, fillies and mares on the grass, mile and a 16th, and the New Orleans Classic, as we discussed yesterday with Tom Amos. Lone Sailor, Sonneteer, second off the layoff for Keith DeSormo. Fearless, that Pletcher, two for two. Go Sapper, four-year-old gelding that was so sharp. He broke the maiden in December, and then at the end of his three-year-old year, and then pretty explosive performance on February 1st. Tenfold, Chess Chief, Silver Dust, Captivating Moon by My Standards, and Gunnet, that New Orleans classic that we discussed with Tom Amos. Andy Serling of the New York Racing Association standing by. Good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Just persevering and okay. Kind of.
How's your cold?
It's one of these things. If it's that flu A, it keeps morphing and changing. You know, went from a cough to a headache and fever, and then that ends, and now it's in the chest, and it's I'll tell you what. And of course, you know, the biggest thing you're fighting is your fears about this thing.
Of course, right? I feel the same, because I haven't felt great the last couple of days after feeling fine. So, yeah, tough times, but, you know, at least we have racing to talk about, right, Steve?
Well, as it happens, I think a lot of people yesterday, Andy, were surprised. You know, when the news came, I was still on the air when that tri-state governor's announcement came out. And then not long after, Dave Greinig came with the news that Naira was going to close completely. No aqueduct, nobody, not even license holders available to, you know, to come in. And it'll keep people entertained and betting.
Yeah, no, and importantly, also people employed. I mean, that's
yes.
Obviously, one of the great concerns, right? Obviously, is people's employment and people being able to, you know, support themselves and their families. And that's, you know, that's, listen, there's two major, you know, there's many major concerns. Obviously, everybody's health and well-being, and, you know, hopefully more and more people understand that if you don't know somebody that's sick, that's a good thing. And the more we stay in and stay safe, the less people, hopefully, you'll know that got sick. And, you know, obviously a lot of us from a getting sick standpoint, it may not be necessarily an immediate concern for us per se, but you don't want to infect others who in turn will affect others, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's the biggest concern is people's health, but also being able to support your family, yourself and your family. And that's a grave concern, right? That's, I think, what a lot of people are trying to deal with. I'm sure we all have friends. I have many friends in the service industry and they're out of work. And it's rough, no question about it, but you know, we all have to do the right thing. And hopefully in doing so, lessen the impact and hopefully shorten the amount of time it happens, but it's the unknown right now. And we have to take it seriously. In the meantime, while taking it very seriously, and you know that I know you do, and you know I do, we also need to try to lighten the mood as much as possible as well, right? You know,
it's, exactly.
And if we can, you know, if we can offer racing in a safe environment and we can get out in the airways, we're going to be on Fox Sports 1 all weekend. We're scheduled all day long, basically, on both on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. and give people something to be entertained by and they like, and hopefully maybe even get a few more eyes on our great game and get more people a little bit interested. That's a wonderful thing. You're not looking to use this opportunity to benefit yourself, but to be able to use it as any kind of distraction. And I've been doing what I can on Twitter and little social media to, you know, to keep things in a lighter mood and stuff. But it's, you know, it's hard. It's a tough time. And I think unless, you know, my mother's obviously in her late 80s, so she lived through the Depression and World War II. But I think unless, for most of us, we've lived relatively privileged lives, a lot of us, in the sense that we haven't had to deal with things like this, which have had a massive impact on the entire population. And so, you know, we're learning how tough it can be. And hopefully it's something people can get through. You know, we have the benefit of having Netflix and things like that, right? So, you know, you and I have been joking about that. I've been rewatching Mad Men and things. So, not so, you know, it's a little easier to stay at home now than maybe it would have been a number of years ago. But, you know, hopefully racing can help provide somewhat of that distraction and bring something to people.
On that topic, you're expected in terms of the broadcast, how are you handling the broadcast coverage, and what can we expect from that? Is it being done from studios?
I would assume that Rich will be at Aqueduct. Maggie and I will not be there. You know, I've been sick, and once you've been sick, you can't come in for a period of time, which makes perfect sense. So I assume Richie will be there, and I don't really have to talk to him. I'm not, contrary to popular belief, let's see, I'm not setting the date for the Belmont Stakes. Trying to get that message across on Twitter right now. I'm not able to tell them how much time they should run between races and what the post time should be. I definitely can't deal with the track, whether we should back rake it or front rake it, or, you know, deal. I can't do that. What else? I definitely can't set a safe schedule, though we've touched on that. But I can stay on Twitter and I could give out opinions. But so I'm also not involved with the talent. I would imagine that some combination of Greg and Gary and I hopefully Jonathan. You know, I know that I think they're hoping. You know, I don't know exactly what tracks we're showing, but different people will be at tracks, I suppose. But I really don't know for sure. You know, I know we'd love to get Tom Amos involved, depending where he is. But we'll do the best we can. But I'm not really sure exactly who will be there, except that we will be on.
Well, you certainly have been. Well, and you've been kind of interacting and offering some fun, you know, some of the fun things that you do during quiet moments anyway, with polls and with, you know, bringing up historic horses and, you know, comparisons. And, you know, you and I were talking, you know, what was I going to do if, you know, if there was absolutely no racing to talk about? And, you know, there's always so much about the sport that's fun to discuss. I do want to ask you at least a little bit in terms of, you know, not speculation, but you did say that, you know, this could provide an opportunity to do some novel things in the late half of the year. And, you know, I was noting that, you know, on a schedule basis, there's going to be a group of races all at 10 furlongs between the Travers, the Derby, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and the Breeders' Cup Classic. And
the Preakness is 1 3/16. And,
yep.
You know, I don't. Yeah, I mean, this would be a nice time. Listen, it feels like this has been a good time for racing in the sense that we actually seem to be trying to work together more so than we have in the past. I think you would agree with that, especially when it's come down to the safety and medication issues, right? And to get all the big guys, but really everybody, on the same page. And I'm going to say that it takes a lot of effort from a lot of different people, but I will say that Dave O'Rourke has been a big part of that because, you know, Dave is somebody that actually does believe in working with people, and he's good at getting people to work together. You know, I even like him, which is unusual. But this is an opportunity for us as an industry and also us individually to show a little imagination for a change, right? You know, realize that, you know, our stake schedules have been appended, that races that we want to run may not be able to run them, you know, but also races can be moved. And, you know, the stake schedule of Belmont's out, but obviously that likely can and will, you know, will and can change. I would assume, and I haven't had any conversations. I'm just, you know, you would think, and Cerno hasn't even announced yet. So this is a great opportunity for us to look at, you know, to have a sort of clean slate, right? The Derby announced. We know when the Derby is, right? September 5th. And to get together and work around that. And 2020 is going to be remembered as a year, at least in racing, when we improvised and see how it works, right? And do some things. So we'll see. Things are going to look different. How different? I don't know. And it's fortunately or unfortunately not my job to be particularly involved or involved at all in that discussion. But hopefully it's a chance for a lot of racetracks. And obviously we have at NYRA so many important big races that we can be a big part of the narrative, but you want others to be part of it. You don't want to be a glutton and say, well, we control it because we have all this. No, everybody, it's an opportunity for people to work together. And maybe, you know, I think the country is working together, right? The whole world is trying to work together right now in controlling this as much as possible. And, you know, it'd be a wonderful thing if in 4 months, a lot of people are saying, well, that turned out to, you know, not be a big deal. Theoretically, it is a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You'd like to think that we're able to be so responsible that many people don't get sick and lives are spared. That would be a great thing. And it's in a spirit of cooperation, this is an opportunity for racing to cooperate in ways we've never cooperated before, and also be creative and see how what we can do with what we have. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we work on this, and I'm going to try to remain optimistic that people will come through this in a very positive way and show. And I think if we can show each other that we can do things like that, it can only be a positive going forward, right? There's just got to be an ability to give and take. And we have to be, you know, we all have to be as willing to give things up, to expect things. So, you know, hopefully this will work out as a net positive for everybody. I certainly hope so. And I don't see why it can't.
Well, and there's no, there's nothing that has to be, I mean, it's obviously going to be a unique year. And I want to be careful because pre-American Pharoah, when we were in the midst of that idiotic concept.
So change the Triple Crown.
Change the Triple Crown. No, it'll never happen again. We were going through that, bless you. We were going through that, and so I don't want to be somebody that says now, well, it doesn't matter how we run it. It's going to be whatever it is. I mean, if the Preakness gets run first somehow, and who knows what's
the
difference?
Earth will keep spinning.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And hopefully everybody's lives will go on get back. You know, everyone will look forward to getting back to some sense of normalcy, hopefully sooner than later, but it's hard to know when. But in the meantime, right, just chill. It's a good year to say we did the best we could. And you know what? I'm sure we'll do some things that we look back on and say, well, that was dumb. That's okay. You know, looking back on things and saying, well, I wouldn't do it again that way if I had the chance. That's okay. So that's what you learned. You know, we shouldn't have done that, or we should have done that, or wow, that really worked out well. You know, and I was joking on Twitter last night, and I said, you know, what if we run some sort of odd Triple Crown, you know, different times of races and et cetera, how we run it. You know, invariably, there will be an article, you know, if the Derby was the last leg, just as a, you know, throwing it out there, invariably there will be an article by people saying, should the Triple Crown, this be the way the Triple Crown looks? You know, people will, it's just, you know, I hope people, whatever happens, people are happy with it. I think also we'll all be happy when we get back to some sense of normalcy, right, whenever that is. And let's keep perspective for more than 5 minutes, right? You know, I mean, it's hard. It's hard. We all do it, you know. I remember once the day I got back from being in Saratoga for the meet, when I used to trade downtown. I was with my friend Bruce, who I worked with, he's a good friend of mine, and I got into an argument with somebody on the floor, and Bruce said, well, it didn't take long for your Saratoga shine to go away. So, you know, like, you know, you hope that we all, you know, we spend our lives trying to gain perspective each and every day, right? And hopefully we'll all gain a little perspective from this. And, you know, turning negatives into positives is the best way that you can go through life. The hardest thing to do is to actually try to do that. Very easy to say, not so easy to always do.
No, well said. Well said. Couple of sidebars, Andy. The racing over the past few days, and it included the Petey Bianchi, Carlos Martin, and that was in the correction. And then on Sunday, Damon Runyon, you had Dream Bigger.
I thought I watched the correction in slow motion, but then I realized it was actually running in real time. And then Linda Rice's maiden, New York Red Maiden, won the last race in 5/100ths of a second faster than the correction went. Having said that, Petey Bianchi, ran a nice race, obviously. Viola Cat should have won. If she didn't have trouble with the start, she likely would have. The New York Reds, Dream Bigger has proven to be the best horse to that group. Obviously, the question was whether or not, his better races, whether he was tailing off, but also how far he wanted to go. And he showed the 7 furlongs wasn't a problem. He was a dominant winner of that. I didn't see the fig. What was the fig? Did you see it?
80.
No, that's not bad. They're okay. They're nice horses. I'm sorry the Gary's horse, Chowder. I guess he had some heat in the ankle or something. Dave Brennan.
Yeah. Yep. A little filling.
I think after the race, Gary could say, I don't think I was winning. So that was good. But you always want to wish you had a chance to try because he's clearly improved. That was some, good racing. Obviously, the racing at Oakland, I know you've talked extensively about it, but. Nadal ran very well, obviously, in the context of the race. I do think the rail was good. And I think, a number of horses sort of tired from chasing him. He's obviously very talented. Whether it puts him in the scheme of the three-year-olds, I certainly think he belongs very near the top right now. But there's so many questions to be answered. Hopefully some of them will be answered in some races in future weeks. We'll see what racing there is. You can't predict the future at this point. But eventually we'll get a chance, and he's obviously a player. Clearly Bob's horse out west, Charlatan. We continue to question how far he's going to be, how effective he's going to be as they go farther and farther. But this is an extraordinarily exciting talent. His performance on Saturday was just jaw-dropping. I realize he set a very moderate pace. They weren't crawling, but it was moderate. I mean, he looked like he left his body at the eighth pole, Like, he just exploded. And, that was a pleasure to watch. I think we all, as racing fans, we look forward to seeing talented runners, right? Seeing horses that, have real talent, and you don't fortunately see enough of them, to run those two big figures in his first two starts, to go from that one sort of 6 furlong cakewalk to this at a mile, and regardless of what's behind him, this is an extraordinary talent. And I just love seeing it. I don't know what the future holds for him. I think we have the same feeling, which is we hope all of these horses stay sound and we get to see it from them. But he's obviously, whatever it ends up being, whether or not he's a mile and a quarter type talent or a horse that's, most effective going up to a mile, this is an extraordinarily talented individual. And I could watch it again and again, right? Just love watching good horses. So obviously Charlatan is, in fact, no Charlatan whatsoever. Serengeti Empress, I'm always happy to see Tom do well. And she had things go her own way, obviously. But, it was an honest pace, and she was with the track and all those things. But she ran. So, and that was, it was a wet track, but it was a breakout performance by her. And I think it bodes well for this year, and nothing would make me happier than to see Tom. And as much as I kid him and give him a hard time, he's somebody that I would say a lot of good things have come out of my work and friends I've made and people I've gotten to know and people I've gotten to work with. But from a work professional standpoint, there's nobody I enjoy more than Tom and Colleen as well. And so it makes me very happy to see them doing well. And he's got a big horse in his hand. So that's great. I'm thrilled about that. Good stuff. Stuff to look forward to, and hopefully sooner than later. But if it has to wait a little while, then it has to wait a little while. Right? Good things come to those that wait.
Put the Charlatan pairing of performances. Put it into some historic perspective,
Charlatan?
Andy.
Well, I think Pulpit ran a big fig in his second start around two turns, right? He ran an allowance race before losing the Fountain. He lost. He won the Fountain Youth, and then he lost the Florida Derby. to that bum, Captain Bodger. Somebody said to me, you know, that pulpit lost it. I said, he lost to Captain Bodger. If Captain Bodger was running right now, they'd be talking about him like American Pharoah was an afterthought. I think he ran big. I don't remember what Curlin ran in the second race. Did he regress like a 99? But
I remember,
you know, it's hard. I know that Formal Gold ran at like 110 in his debut. I think he ran a 99 when he won a second start at Belmont. I was actually at Belmont when he won his second start. And, you know, I think he was an all-time great talent. So this is an unprecedented. You know, there is a bad, mistaken, I think, concept that horses that have run huge figures in their debuts have gone and do nothing. That's simply untrue. And I actually looked it up a number of years ago. I think when a Claiborne horse, Al Stoll, had one, and ran a big figure at Fairgrounds. Horses ended up not doing a lot, but like a huge percentage of them went on to be grade stakes winners. And even a decent percentage went on to be grade one winners. And, I mean, from the story standpoint, I can't put the horses in front of me. This is a monstrous talent. I mean, he's unusual, Charlatan. Like I said, how unusual he'll be if they ask him to go 10 furlongs, I don't know. But I think we could say conclusively up to a mile. I mean, to put it in perspective, he's running races right now with those figures. That would, you know, he could have beaten Mr. Freeze, for instance, who has run, I think, one of the best races we've seen all year, right?
Yeah, yep.
And think about that, a horse making his second start in March of his three-year-old year. I mean, I think he's going to keep getting better. He's a staggering talent.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe from a perspective, sorry, I'm distracted. My mom's calling in your line, but I'll call it back. That's how much I care about you guys. I've lost my train of thought, but whatever. Maybe the fact that there may be some delay of racing. The good news is maybe it'll help keep you some of these horses on the track longer than you would have expected, and that would be a good thing too, right?
Absolutely. That point, I saw somebody make that point that this could play into a delay of anybody that ends up being at the top of the division could delay their, you know, heading off to stud.
I've always regretted that American Pharoah didn't run as a four-year-old, because I think there's a chance that he could have been an exceptional four-year-old. So, you know, we'll see. But some good things going on out there. Some lousy things going on out there, but some good things too. In fact, more good things. And I think that's something that we all shouldn't lose perspective on. We still have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to look forward to. And, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty and a delay in where things are going doesn't mean that there won't be a lot more good things happening for us in the future.
You mentioned Mr. Freeze, and I had Dale yesterday, and I guess we won him over. He's not taking Mr. Freeze to Dubai, and so the Carter and the Met look like the targets.
Steve, I kind of have to go.
Okay.
Do you need me? Do you need
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me go. I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Let me, Andy mentioning his mother calling. His mother's up here. So I hope everything's all right there. Let me take a break. All right. Yeah. Let's step away. Bottom of the hour and a little bit more to come. We got about 25 minutes back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at HorseBills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice choice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Back to At the Races with Steve Fick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. And let's see. We should take a quick look here. Let me go to the OBS catalog. And I got the catalog page up, not the results page. Let's see how things are going. It's only the first hour. But let's see what kind of early read there is. And up, oh, there's no, oh, not yet. Okay. I'm surprised that, maybe put the, you know what, I'll put the video up as well, because there's no, they're not showing any results. Usually you start seeing results in about 20 minutes, but, not coming up yet. All right. So be it. We'll see if. Here we go. Watch the sale live so we can keep an eye on a few. You know, one thing that's a little, I haven't seen the details. Well, here's HIP 49, 85,000. So seems like a healthy number. It's actually a colt that I'm coming up at. I'm glad I pulled this up when I did, because, there happens to be a colt that I'm a little curious about, and I had expected to be down there. So, any potential to tab a 2 year old at this sale is going to have to wait. I mean, there's as Tom Ventura said earlier this morning, You know, there's the April sale for him and the June sale. And, of course, Fasig is doing sort of a hybrid at Timonium. And it was not a big catalog for the Gulfstream sale. So you know, some of this is going to take some time, and there's not going to be any 2-year-old racing. That's obviously going to be delayed, and the Keeneland, the usual Keeneland, scheduling, you know, of 2-year-old races. We're going to lose that. And that's part of the, you know, the difficulty and the, speaking of difficulty, here's hip number 51 that, had no interest in coming into the pavilion. There he goes. He locked up those front feet, pretty much. Case, I don't know if you've gotten my requests at all. So let me know if you would. Yeah. The the horse in the ring. Watch, I see who this is. Let me scroll back down. This is a Candy Ride that breezed a quarter of a mile, 22-1, 150,000 already. And after that, 175 now, 185, after that resisting being let in. Pretty funny. I wish I knew what some of the other early hips were, because this horse is raced up to a quarter of a million, 240,000. So this has got to be an early leader. And of course, it was this sale, as Tom mentioned earlier, this sale from last year that produced the $2 million Chestertown, who runs Saturday, drew the four-hole in the Louisiana Derby. Things have stalled now. 245,000 looks like was the final number. Normally, when Jeremy Plonk joins us, we talk about Countdown to the Crown. I don't know if Jeremy's going to change the moniker and call it Countdown to Uncertainty, Countdown to Infinity. any number of options. Jeremy, good morning.
In this world, I think we'll be all right. And my Google assistant is talking back to me, so I must have initiated her as well into our conversation. So if you heard that in the background, but oh, it's crazy times, you know. I mean, we can't figure out what to do in our personal lives, much less our professional lives right now. And today is a whirlwind news day, of course, historic changing of the date of the Kentucky Derby.
What, how does this affect you with the kids and everything and your wife? And I mean, you work from home anyway. So for you, you're constantly quarantined.
Yeah. I'm self quarantined 365 days a year for the last 21 years. So it's worked out okay for me. I'm still working in my socks. So that works well for me, but, you know, my daughter's off school, of course, and they're working on right now. Her program is working on putting together online courses. So it's college prep time, I guess you would say, for the way that they're going to learn. So we'll get into that in the coming days. Good social distancing means my wife doesn't have to get too close to me, which is probably good for her. And so we're getting by here. We're not in the heavily populated area. We're in the mountains in Pennsylvania. And it's a little bit different lifestyle than the people who are in New York City and things like that. You know, for us, it's a change. It's a disruption for sure, but it's not a complete, different way of life, like people who live in the city. So I certainly, my sympathy goes out to them, who have it a lot tougher than I do.
Well, and of course, we're similarly in a rural county in Washington County, just east of Saratoga, about 13 miles, and another 10, 12 miles to the Vermont border, a little village of 2,000. So in terms of density, you're not coming into contact, as you would in a more, heavily populated area. But, there's still things, especially with, given Tina's, being in education, the school is going to continue to provide lunches, breakfast and lunches for the children. She is out in a very remote part of the county. Literally on the border with Vermont, and nobody that thinks of New York, and when you tell people you're from New York, they think, a major metropolitan area.
Right.
If they saw the stretch from Cambridge up to Whitehall, the eastern border of Washington County, New York, they wouldn't know that they weren't in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Honest to God, mm-hmm. It is as desolate and a country life. They're very, honestly, very poor farming community, and school for a lot of these kids is a chance to eat two square meals, and so the school will continue to provide meals for the kids. And this is just as true in inner cities and in really any community, but so they're functioning. They're going to send out the school buses as hotspots. So the kids can, use those that have computers can use them, or they give the kids these kind of simple iPad type things that they can do math games and assignments on. And so this will be an experience and a testing scenario for everybody. But you do the right, all the right things as instructed.
Yeah, look, there are bigger things going on in this world than, the date of the Derby or whether or not the Louisiana yes. Derby is going to matter to the prep schedule but we also too, we want some distraction in our life. We don't want to think all doom and gloom. We have a lot of idle time on our hands. So some of these practices, kind of work positively. I think the NFL took a little bit of heat, I think, for not changing their calendar year in the midst of this. But I really enjoyed yesterday all the free agent news and movement and that there was actually real programming on NFL Network and on SportsCenter about, so it's like some of these things that aren't, like the chess moves. The chess moves we can still talk about. They're not involving physical contact and play and things like that. And I understand that, we obviously have to disband the sports that have been disbanded, from live action. But the news about them is a good distraction. And, I watched a classic basketball game last night. It kept me up till 12:30. The 2016 Oklahoma at Kansas, where both teams were ranked number one in different polls. Buddy Hield scored 46, and we still lost. We still lost 109-106 in the greatest college basketball game I've ever seen, and it still kept me up till 12:30 last night and cut into my sleep on a game that was 4 years old. So
that's funny.
And racing has got so many classic races and stuff like that. We still have the live racing game going in a decent number of venues around the country, so we're not to the point yet where it's all let's go back and replay classics, and things like that. But this is a good chance to kind of get up to speed on the news of things, and look back in history and maybe appreciate things from a little bit different angle than you normally do. maybe you could take advantage of some of those things. You know, certainly this is not going to be a traditional year in any stretch.
Well, on that topic, let's hit a couple of the current, you know, the current results and look ahead to Saturday at Fairgrounds as well. And first of all, your thoughts about really both of the preps, because we haven't talked nearly enough about, I think, what's going to be a nice turf horse among the three-year-olds in Field Pass.
Yeah.
And Invader ran great, and that Jeff Ruby as well. Mike Maker sweeping, you know, both the Bourbonette Oaks with Queen of God and then the Ruby as well with Field Pass, running 1-3 in the Jeff Ruby. And then, of course, Nadal, your thoughts there, and Charlatan, and then we'll talk about New Orleans.
Yeah, well, it was a good day for Mike Maker up at Turfway for sure, too. I mean, even in the Kentucky Cup Classic, Some Like It Hot Brown ran his race, nonetheless was just better. And talk about two horses that love it there at Turfway, you know. So good day for Maker for sure up there, Field Pass. Really, the outside horses got a good trip in there. They were the two best, and you know, despite the wide draw, they were able to both gain good position into the turn, and the two best horses ran their race, and that's what I like to see in preps. And you know, Invader, like you said, ran a good race. He looked like the winner at the 16th pole, and then his stride just kind of really shortened. And I think that mile and an eighth might have gotten Invader at the end just a little bit, but not on the clock. You know, they came home in 37.63 the last three furlongs, so that was a really good come-home time. And they were only a couple lengths slower than Nonetheless ran, and Nonetheless won his race by four. So either one of these horses would have been fairly competitive on the clock, at least, against older horses in the Kentucky Cup Classic. So pretty good addition of the Jeff Ruby on the top, and I don't think it's going to have, you know, any say when we get to the dirt. Field Pass, of course, had the one try at Churchill in the dirt, got beat 15 lengths. But then again, you know, you look at what King Guillermo did down in Florida, and you say, well, just because a horse had one bad race on the dirt and then got good, who's to say they can't go back to the dirt? So, you know, maybe putting that 15-length loss and pinning it on Field Pass and saying no chance on the dirt is incorrect. We've already seen, you know, like King Guillermo in the race down at Tampa. You know, once they get good, maybe the surface versatility comes along with it. Field Pass by Lemon Drop Kid, of course, a Belmont winner. So there's some surface versatility there. Maybe. And, you know, we're looking at September to talk about how this will all play out in terms of a Derby horse. But Field Pass looks like a pretty good one. Nadal, you know, I thought he was really sharp in victory at Oaklawn. He took heat, and a lot of heat, you know. When American Theorem was drawn on the outside post and with the layoff, you knew he was going to be cranked up. You knew he'd be part of the pace pressure. No Parole is probably as good as any three-year-old sprinter, I think, in America. He's definitely not a route horse now that we see that. But the fact that he was pushing to try to keep up with Nadal, that was a really hot, fast pace, a contentious pace. You know, some horses go fast. They say it's not how fast you go, it's how you go fast. Well, they were going fast, and they were going at it going fast, you know. So Nadal really had to take a lot of pressure, and he went on to the victory. You know, how much farther does he go? We'll see, you know. I mean, the Rebel was a mile and a 16th. The main players in here carried 117 pounds, so that's about as easy as you can get in a prep and a field of eight. So you only have seven challengers. It's only a mile and a 16th, and you're only carrying 117. It's not exactly a Derby dress rehearsal, but for a first trip around two turns, it was a pretty stern test. And given the pressure that was put on, it was a very stern test. Nadal passed all those. So, you know, he's one of Baffert's best. I mean, that's an understatement, but he's got three really good ones this year. And we'll see where the rest of them fall in line by the time we get to the fall. But Nadal's awfully good right now. And off this race here, you know, this was a sharpie. Where he would go out of this race would have kind of been a tough call, because this race could have really been taxing on Nadal. So if he comes back 4 weeks later in the Arkansas Derby, or, you know, goes somewhere else, now you don't have to come back in 4 weeks to anything, unless you think, okay, my horse is doing really well, it's a $1 million purse, they're still running, let's go for it. But the pressure to come back off a taxing effort like this isn't necessitated by the calendar anymore, which could be to his benefit.
Well, that, you know, that style of victory usually bodes well when a horse gets tested like that and is able to turn back. You know, what's interesting is that some of these this year of the Baffert contingent, more so than in some previous editions, There's more questions, it seems, about their 10-furlong aptitude. So we'll wait till we get to a mile and an eighth, down the road, and we'll see how far down the road that might be. And speaking of a mile, speaking of down the road, mile and an eighth and beyond, let's also take. Well, we got about 4 or 5 minutes. So sure. Opine on the mile and 3/16th Louisiana Derby.
Well, we saw both divisions of the Risen Star won wire-to-wire at the mile and an eighth trip, if you recall, last month. And Mr. Monomoy's not with us anymore on the trail, sidelined to injury for Brad Cox. Modernist went on the front end, and NY Traffic, New York Traffic also on the front end, kind of running 1-2 all the way in that second division. If you think that, pace is probably the way to go again, you get an interesting insertion into the lineup in Wells Bayou, who I think is faster than any of the pace players in either of the two divisions we saw in the Risen Star. And I think Brad Cox made a really smart move because Wells Bayou, of course, ran a big race in the Southwest, almost went wire to wire and was caught late by Silver Prospector. He was smart enough to get the hell out of the race last week in the Rebel, when Nadal's coming into town, no paroles coming to town, Brad Cox had Answer In. He had Wells Bayou, two horses that had run on the Oaklawn Trail, both front-running types. Neither one showed up in the Rebel, and I think that was very smart race placement because they would have gotten ground up on the front end, and you saw how that race turned out. So shrewd placement. We've seen Florent Giroux aggressively ride the front end with a lot of success this season. I think Wells Bayou is going to be really interesting in the Louisiana Derby. The distance is a question for all of them, of course, but the farther they go, especially, I think, with this kind of race, I think the easier they'll be on the pace. They're not going to be aggressive. The jocks realize how far the race is. And the speed horses in here aren't like blazers. Modernist isn't like No Parole, right? I mean, he's not like a 7-furlong horse, seeing if he can go that far. He's a distance horse who has been running towards the front in distance races. So I don't think they're going to go super fast on the clock. I don't think there's going to be a really pressured pace. I think this race can be won on the front end because the Risen Star, both divisions were. The closers aren't the kind of horses who they, I don't need any help whatsoever. I can just come get you. They're good closers, Enforceable, Mailman Money, Major Fed. They're good closers, but they're not the kind of horses that if there's like no pace help at all, that they're still going to get there anyway. So I think the race probably gets one up front somewhere, and I think Wells Bayou's a really good contender for it. Lynn's Map is a horse who really interests me off his race. I thought he ran sneaky good in the Risen Star. And remember, his timing was all screwed up. He was supposed to run into the comp, and they didn't like the wide post. So they sent him to Oaklawn like 8 days later in the Smarty Jones. That didn't work out. So then he's tighter coming into the Risen Star than he probably should have been. Way back early, made a decent run, got a good late pace figure from Briss. Kind of a sneaky good race for Mark Cassie. And now the timing's back right again, right? I mean, this is the distance between the Risen Star and the Louisiana Derby that he should. I think if there's a horse in the Risen Star who bounces back and runs better than they did that day, it'll be Lynn's Map. But I think the new speed infusion, Wells Bayou kind of takes the role that Mr. Monomoy had at Fairgrounds earlier for the same connections. Brad Cox had to find another replacement for Mr. Monomoy. He gets one here on Style. You've got Giroux, a great post in the three-hole. There's a lot to like there with Wells Bayou.
And the key for him is going to be just how quickly he's confronted by New York Traffic.
Right.
And by the way, I see Luis Saez is riding, getting back aboard. He rode him in that allowance race, but wasn't available to ride in the Risen Star. And Saez is going to bypass the trip to Maidan. But anyway, the confrontation there is going to be key. Mailman Money, I guess, has got a little bit of speed. There's not a ton of, I wonder too, Jeremy, if, looking at this cast, you also are in a situation. Modernist is going to want to go forward, you would think, and has got, he's got plenty of opportunity the length of that long stretch to get position. You do wonder how much pressure guys are going to turn up if they're going to overthink the distance and say, well, we're going further, we're going past the mile in the eighth today. And should I, conserve? And does that, allow the leaders, a little bit more leeway on the backstretch?
That's the way I'm handicapping it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I handicapped the Risen Star, because it wasn't as fast as the LeCompte. You remember, in the LeCompte, Mr. Monomoy had some speed horses that went with him. It was a much faster pace. And when they went to the mile and an eighth, I was already thinking, look, these people are going to start to back off a little bit. These jocks are going to back off a little bit, because this is a mile and an eighth early in the year. And that's exactly the way those two races played out, where the front end horses just dominated. Now it's even again, you know, to the mile and 3/16. So that's the way I handicap it. I mean, in terms of, but even if you say they go after it a little bit, I mean, I still only see 2 to 3 pace players in here. And you know, and that to me doesn't add up to a surefire meltdown. So, you know, I think one of those three pace players is probably, you know, advantage. We know speed is advantaged in every race in American racing, and it's, you know, there's no better place to be than near the front. So if there's only 2 or 3 of them in a big field of 14 like that, and they don't turn up and ratchet up the heat, you know, this race can be won up front. I expect somebody in the first 3 probably wins the race. But again, I do like Lynn's map. I'm off the pace, and, you know, probably any of these closers will need a little bit of pace help, but maybe the distance will trip up the speed horses. You know, maybe Wells Bayou can't get that distance. But by looking at Lucky, I wouldn't expect it. You know, he's totally out of the woods there in terms of not being able to get the trip. I mean, it's the Preakness trip, and his daddy won the Preakness.
Well, and out of a hard-spun mare as well, and there's reason to believe. Jeremy, no Sunland Derby to worry about. For now, and next week we'll talk the UAE Derby and Florida Derby and whatever else has changed between now and then.
Yeah, who the hell knows what we'll talk about next week.
Jeremy Block, everybody. Countdown to the Crown, horseplayernow.com. And busy 3 hours. They're all busy for the most part. Want to thank Tom Ventura. Just saw a Nyquist. You know, these are his first two-year-olds. Just saw a filly go for over 300,000. Hip 50, was that 56? Hip 57. Yeah. So we'll watch some sale and we'll report on it tomorrow. I want to thank Eric Hamelbeck as well for joining us. And of course, Andy was with us, Jeremy. And we'll do it all again. We'll keep everybody up to speed as best we can. John White, of course, today as well. Racing at a few venues today. How about, as we told you, Sam Houston? They're running without anybody in attendance. Fairmont, a couple others, Mahoney. Good luck if you're playing. I'll talk to you in the morning, everybody. Sirius XM at the races.
With Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.